Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
I want to speak to you today, and being through this COVID season has, again, made me look at things differently, like it all has, and especially with regards to church and Christians and being shut down for a number of months. I just wonder how many casualties we had. That people that won't make it back into the house of God, that have given up on their faith. And my greatest fear as a leader is that I produce a group or a generation of people that are connected to the worship experience and not to Jesus. You know, we do things so well. We do our worship so well, our building so well. We've got air conditioning, we've got cafes, we've got everything happening. And I love all those things, don't get me wrong. I think they're amazing and a part of who we are. We do it all so well so you can bring your friends. We do it so well you can be encouraged and excited about growing together. But I think we've got to understand that as much as we use all this, we can't rely on this. There's got to be a deeper connection with God Himself and not just our worship experience. Imagine if you were transferred to a little outback town and they didn't have a church like this, you know. Imagine if you were young and it was just all old people, or you're old and it was all young people, or they didn't have the worship team like that. There's just a banjo and a guy playing spoons. You've been there. It's down the road. Oh, they played old hymns and nothing else. And there was no more Pastor Graham dad jokes. You know, like, it was just a tragic thing. My question is how excited and committed would you be if that was your future? Without the bells and whistles, without the screens, without that, how excited would you be about Jesus and the greatness of His cause? All right? I believe in having the best because we can reach people and do the whole thing, but I don't want us to rely on it. I want us to know Jesus. If it's just about here, we've missed it. When the music fades, when the facilities are no more, when we don't have the luxury of freedom like we do, would you still love Jesus? Would you still be committed to the purposes of God? That's where we've got to live as believers. Because as much as, who's praying that 2021 is better than 2020? I don't know what 2021 is going to bring. I can't guarantee you the world's going better than it is. I can't guarantee you what 2022 looks like. I can't guarantee anything. I look at the world right now, and it's like in a topsy-turvy spot at so many levels. Politics, countries, nations, ideas, concepts, violence, racial issues. I don't know if the world's going to be more certain or not. What I've got to put my trust is not in an uncertain world, but in the rock that doesn't change. The one named Jesus, because He is unchangeable. And even if the world swings into chaos, I need to be grounded in Him. I love what Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4 says. It says, he who observes the wind will not sow. He who regards the clouds will not reap. I want you to see the message in this scripture. It's what it's saying is those that are determined by their environment instead of their beliefs will not be successful in what they do. If you're moved by what's happening out here more than what you believe, then you're out of control. You're no longer a victor, you're a victim. And we've got to make sure, therefore, that we are moved not by our world, our environment, by social media, but what we believe upon Jesus. That's where we've got to live out of. Because if you're living out here, you're going to live in fear, anxiety, and confusion. Be assured. Anxiety. The mental illness in Australia right now from lockdown and COVID has gone through the roof. People are fearful, they're anxious, they're not sure about the future, which is a really sad place to be, but it's a great place for the church to be because we can bring them hope and answers and a future. Because we've got to be not built around what's happening out there, but on who we are in here. Let's be believers in Jesus. Believers. In other words, our relationship with God and our commitment to His purposes must be built on more than our environment, our atmosphere, our feelings, and even others. And as much as I love what we do, after that 3 months off, my first Sunday morning back in the house of God, I walked down the aisles and I wept because I missed it so much. But I know this, that it doesn't matter what happens in the future, I'm not connected just to my Sunday experience, I'm connected to God because that's my strength. What's got to happen to the church? And like I said, I've watched COVID sort believers out. There are people that aren't back in church, not because they are fearful, but they are now complacent. They are now like broken their habit pattern rather than their connection. So I've got to get to a place where we start to think about, you know what? If the world doesn't go back to the way it was, how strong are we going to be in the days ahead? How are we going to stay the course, make the distance? And I believe this, we must need to get to know our God stronger than we ever have. Being a successful believer is not about trying harder, it's about drawing closer. Your will to win, your end date, your finality, your making it through, being a person that makes a difference in the way, it's not connected to your resolve, it's connected to whose you are and who you believe in and who you belong to. We must get to know God really, really well, for He is unchangeable, even though everything around us can change. For He is everywhere you ever go. God is with us no matter where we go, and we must keep that in clear picture in our head that wherever we go, whatever's happening out here, He is here. You know, I look at the Apostle Paul, and I look at his life, and did you realize most of the letters that Paul writes to the churches, he writes them while he's inside a jail? I know you think you had a bad week, but Paul had a lot of bad weeks. He spent a lot of time in jail. As a matter of fact, every town he went into, there was a banner across the main road that said, "Paul, welcome to our jail." That was where he wrote the letters. And so he could have got to the place in himself, well, where's God in this? How come I'm in another jail? How come I'm being beaten again? How come I'm being whipped again? I go to another jail. But you don't see that, his ending. You don't see him complaining or whining. Or going, it's too hard, it's too tough. What do you mean I've got to check in? I know it's awkward and unusual, but there are people not coming to church because they don't want to check in. But, you know, to me, I'm going, what is your resolve in here? What are the things that are important to you? Who are you connected to? Why is that an awkward thing? I hate lines. I was at a barber yesterday and I said, how long? They said, 40 minutes. I said, no chance. I don't care how good you are. But to the house of God, if it means a bit more, you know, uncomfortability, I'm good with that. You see, no, Paul, he'd found, can I tell you, the jails are never external, they're always internal. See, if you're free on the inside, you're free on the outside no matter where you are, or what you're going through, or how tough it is. And that's what I see in Paul's life. It doesn't matter what happened to him out here. He was always free. He didn't end up complaining about being in jail. He started writing. He started bringing words of encouragement to the churches right across the Europe then and through Asia. He started to speak life. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. It's Paul speaking. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state to be content. I want you to hear that. I've learned in whatever state, I've learned to be content. In other words, my foundation is not built on my environment, my senses or my feelings, but in what I believe and who I belong to. I know how to be abased. That means I know how to go without food. I know how to go without friends. I know what it's like to be in a jail, to be whipped and beaten. And I know how to abound. I've eaten in the palaces of kings and eaten the best food in the world. He says, I've been in both places. Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And he says, how do I do this? He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's his foundation, not his environment, not his situation, not that he lost his job or didn't lose his job, not that he's got this problem or that problem. He says, man, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, I'm not built around my strength. I'm built around his strength. Today, we've got to become believers with that in our lives, because at the end of the day, we don't know what future we're going into. We've got to be built around the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, I listened to his heart there. Wherever he went, I am content, for God is with me. He said, you know, I'm not determined by what I see or feel, but rather I'm determined by what I believe. You know, who knows that at the end of the day, you've got to come to a place and look at what you really believe. You know, I look at one day I woke up and I was freaking 60 years old. Like, what happened? What happened? I'm 60 years old. Now, I don't deny my age, but I'm not defined by my age. I know, I'm good. I still surf, I still snowboard, play golf, I go out, I do things, I get bored quickly if I sit down. So it's not as though I'm defined by my age, but I don't deny it. I'm running out of time. I'm running out of time. And so are some of you. You're running out of time. And at some point in your life, you've got to work out what you really believe. Really about now and about eternity. You've got to set your hook into something that is yours, and no matter what happens, it won't be taken from you. When I was diagnosed with lung cancer and throat cancer at the same time, and they could not tell me the results were going to be great. they couldn't tell me everything was going to be okay. And I was believing God that I would be well and it'd be fine. But who knows, you can have about 200 thoughts in 60 seconds. From, praise God, he's got me. No, I'm dead. To, praise God, it's all going to be okay. Oh, no, I'm finished. You can have a lot of thoughts in 60 seconds. And especially after you've got chemo and radiation happening around and messes all your head up. Even Seinfeld wasn't funny. That's how desperate things got. But in that time, I came to a place and it was like I wasn't sure whether I was going to live, I was going to die. And I wasn't like I thought I was going to die, but in my heart, I got to a place was like, God, in life and in death, you are my breath. In life and in death, you are my breath. Because even now God healed me at that time, there will come a time when I will die. And you, bad news, you will die at some stage. And you've got to get somewhere and decide what you're really going to believe. What you're really going to believe about life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to have that heart that calls out to God in a way that continually says, Lord, show me, teach me. I want to know you more. I want to understand your ways better. I want to have that heart like David. You know, David was known as a man after God's own heart, King David, and he was not a perfect person. He had some terrible flaws. He had some terrible mess-ups, some terrible failures, but he wasn't a man after God's own heart because he was perfect. He was a man after God's own heart because when he fell, he reached back out for Jesus. Well, God back then reached back out for God. He reached back out. He didn't back away. He reached in. And I read the Psalms, and I listen to the Psalms on a voice. Instead of reading it, I listen to it. And I want to tell you, I'm sure David had post-traumatic stress syndrome. His Psalms are so up and so down. So up, so down. It doesn't take away the anointing from it, the power of it, but in all the things that I see of David's life is that his heart was towards God. And it's not about trying harder, it's about drawing closer. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5 shows me the heart of David. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. Teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all of the day. It was this sense of, it doesn't matter what I do wrong, what I do right. At the end of the day, I'm coming back to you are my way forward. The greatest trap of the enemy is when we fail, is to fail out rather than in. And what David always did is he failed in. His heart was, I must know you. The best way to know God is to know his word. Can I tell you that right now? You will never know God any more than you know the word of God. You've got... I am fearful of a generation of believers that are confused because they don't know what God says about things. Right across social media and the internet, there are opinions of people this, opinions about that. And we have these generation of believers going, oh, I don't know. Well, what about he said that? No. There's no spiritual power in anybody's opinion. The only spiritual power is in the Word of God. You don't want to be confused. Know what God says about subjects. I'm never confused when somebody talks about this or social media brings up that. Of like, oh, what do I mean? No. Know what the Bible says about those things. That will stop all your confusion and anxiety and fear. There's no power in your opinion. Listen, my opinion has no spiritual power. There are some parts of the Bible I'd like to change. I don't like them. But there's no power in my opinion. There's power in what God says. So we've got to know the Word of God. And the best way to understand the Word of God is to know the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. And when you know the Word of God, then the Word of God becomes alive to you. And it brings not just words, but truth and life-changing power. John 1:1 says it like this. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word was God. We've got to know the Word Jesus, and when we know the Word Jesus, then we can start to see the Word come alive in our lives. I love the Bible. And now, I'm going to tell you, I never read the Bible to read the Bible. That's really boring. As a matter of fact, the Bible works in so many different ways. If you can't sleep, read the book of Numbers. Put you to sleep like that. It's a miracle book. Does everything. So I never read the Bible to read the Bible. I read the Bible to hear what God is saying. Because faith comes by hearing, not by reading. Don't read, hear. Faith doesn't come because you read the Bible. Faith comes when you hear what God is saying to you through the Bible. Faith doesn't come because you listen to a message. Faith comes because you hear what God is saying to you through the message. That's where faith comes from. That's where our strength. We've got to know the Word of God. We've got to know the Word. We've got to find Him, know Him, and follow Him. Look what it says in Psalm 81, verse 11 through 14. But my people would not heed my voice. This is God speaking to Israel. They wouldn't heed me. They didn't listen to me. They didn't hear me, all right? And Israel would have none of me. They went their own way. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. You know that the greatest judgment by God is not blowing up a township like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's just letting people do their own thing. The greatest judgment of God is to say, hey, you don't want me? Go ahead, do it your way. You work it out. No, run the planet your way. You don't need me. Go right ahead. I don't have to blow anything up. I don't have to put fires down. I just let you just do it your way. You're fine. Go ahead. That's God's judgment on mankind. And look how it's working out. You see, he says, if you don't follow my ways, if you don't hear me, then you're going to be stuck in your own stubborn ways and your own counsel. Verse 13. Oh, that my people would listen to me. That would hear me. That my people would walk in my ways. They would follow me, not their opinions, but my ways. They would trust in not their understanding, but in my understanding. Then what would happen? I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. I want to tell you, if you trust God's ways more than your own ways, you're going to see more victories in your life. You're going to see more of what God has for you than you think you can do by yourself. Make sure that we're not just trusting in our own thinking, in our own senses, in our own understanding. Follow what God says. You know, I fly a lot. Well, you know when we used to fly in planes? Remember back in the day? Remember in the old days, Graham? Used to fly to America. The old days. We used to have buffets in the old days. It's all different now, isn't it? Really? The old days. Love the old days. But when I used to fly a lot on planes, I'm glad pilots, didn't go off their feelings or their own understanding. Imagine if pilots are in a dark night flying across the Pacific and they go, you know, I just feel to go this way. Where are you going to end up? Or, let's just go a little bit lower. Oops, a mountain. No, no, no. Pilots don't rely on their feelings or their senses on dark nights. They rely on a higher level. They rely on satellites that have more information than they do. They resist the temptation to be driven by their senses because they know that their senses in the dark don't work out that well. And I want to tell you tonight that in the dark, you can't trust your feelings or your senses. You've got to rely on a higher way to get you through. Imagine if they just did it their own way. Imagine if the plane lands and you hear this, and one of the pilots turns to the co-pilot and says, "Hey, great landing, Jim." And Jim says, "Me, I thought you were landing the plane." I'm glad there's more to it than just an idea or a concept. I remember we used to travel on airlines called Southwest in America, and I remember the air hostess coming on one day and she said, "Somebody on board today, it's their birthday, and it's actually the first time they've been on a plane. Let's give the captain a big hand." I'm so glad they're trained to go above their own opinions. We landed and she said this, "Be careful when opening overhead lockers because shift happens." I want to tell you in life, shift happens. You need to make sure we're not just connected to our own resources when shift happens. And even though pilots can't see where they're going in the dark, they are seen when they're going in the dark. Even though they can't see, they're not alone. They're seen. They're seen by a satellite that guides them. Can I assure you today, even though you can't see where you're going in life, you are seen. And God is with you. And you need to tap into that higher power, for His ways are greater than our ways, His understanding greater than our understanding. And if you follow His ways in the dark place, you'll get to the right place. Too many people get caught in their own feelings and ideas and say, "Well, I'm not trusting God in this area," and end up in the wrong place. So what am I saying today? I'm saying this. You and I have got to become self-feeding Christians. All right? Self-feeding Christians. That means we need to read our Bibles. That means we need to pray. That means we need to worship. That means we need to meditate on God. Because when the music fades, if all this is not available like it was for a few months, how do we stand strong? Are we connected just to an experience or to the King Himself? And to be a self-feeder is a very powerful thing, because even your Sunday experience will go up a level if you've met God during the week. This is not instead of, this is an extra two, and it changes everything when we become self-feeding Christians. Because when the music fades, when it doesn't seem as good as it should, when the world tells us we can't meet like we used to, how committed are we to Christ and His cause? How committed are we? We've got to become self-feeding believers. We will not be moved by our environment, but by Christ Himself. So whether it's great praise and worship like this, whether there's some guy playing on the spoons, we're entering in. We're going to worship the King. Whether it's in a crowd or whether it's by myself, we're entering in. We will enjoy the good feelings, the great atmosphere, but we will not rely on them. We will celebrate when God moves, but we will love Him even when we don't see Him move. Can I tell you that one of the most disastrous concepts for a believer is to love God for what He can do rather than who He is. You'll end up in disappointment. You'll end up falling away. Imagine if Graham and I were good friends, not because of him, but because of what he could do for me. Let's say Graham was really rich and he had an incredibly great fishing boat with everything on it. Cabins, into the whole thing, refrigerators, wait staff. 150-foot boat. And I'm his friend because I love Graham's boat. How sad. And yet that's how people somehow treat the King. Because he can bless and he can heal. But even if he doesn't, you gotta still love him anyway. Even if Graham sells his boat, I'm still his friend. Maybe. But you can't be like that with God. You've got to love him for who he is, what he stands for. I mean, what if he healed the sick but he robbed from the poor? What if Jesus did that? We wouldn't be following Jesus because he's a miracle worker. We follow him because he puts in front of us the value of love and commitment and who he is and generosity and all the things he is, not because of his power. It's great that he has power, but you got to love him for more than his power. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is in Daniel chapter 3, verses 15 through 18. And it's a story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were Israel kids that got captured into slavery and were now serving in a different country under a different king. And the king decided, he was not a God follower, and he decided that he wanted everybody to worship him. So he built golden statues of himself around the country. And every time the music, let's read it. Now, if you're ready at the time, you'll hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, or the psaltery. Is it psaltery? Thank you. And the psaltery. And in sympathy with all the... And with all kinds of music, you will fall down and worship the image, which I have made. Good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into a burning, firing furnace. And who is this God who will deliver you? And he's speaking to Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. He's saying, you got to do this. I know you don't. You got to do it. And if you don't, this is what's happening. You'll be thrown in a furnace. You're going to die. And who is this God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from our fiery furnace. He will deliver us from your hand, O king. The verse 18 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. At the end of the day, if God didn't heal me of my cancer, I would still love him. If God didn't bring you through that fiery furnace, you still got to love him. He said, God's well able. There's no lack of faith. He's well able and he will. But even if he doesn't, he says, I'd rather lose with Jesus than win with the devil. And if you want to be a person that lasts all the way into eternity, you've got to be on side with God no matter what. No matter what the end phase is. Not that God doesn't come through. He comes through all the time. I see miracles all the time. It's one of my favorite things about being a believer. Is that I can step into the miraculous and see God show up and show off. But even if he doesn't, I'm his. I'm his. When the music fades, when all this goes away, what do you got left? Find him, would you? Find him. Know him. Close your eyes, bow your heads. Lord, I thank you right now as we reach out just in this moment. I want you to leave any anxiety, confusion, fear right here on the floor. I don't want you to take it with you. I want you to walk out going, not I'm going to try harder, but I'm going to draw closer. I'm going to find parts of the Bible. I'm going to read it, not to read it, but to hear what God's saying to me. I've got to stop messing, flip-flopping around for what I really believe. And I've got to dig my roots into the truth. I've got to put them so deep that no matter what happens, I won't be torn away. Lord, I thank you for these great people. I pray blessing over them today. And for God, those that even don't know you. You know, maybe you're here today and you've never...